Father, we glorify you, we magnify you, we praise the name of Jesus. We're eternally grateful forever for all that Jesus has accomplished on our behalf and how we've been made to be sons and daughters, kings and priests unto our God. We've been brought into the family. We've been made right with the living God. And Father, we thank you for all these things. We are also filled with your Spirit. And may your Spirit stir among us and in us and every hungry heart and every person that allows and responds to that stirring on the inside. May there be an outpouring this day and in days to come. Father, we're going to approach your word in a few minutes, and we just thank you and rejoice that we have the living words, the living bread. We have your heart and mind being ministered to us regularly. We thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have noticed in thinking on things and rejoicing that by faith, the Lord has blessed Pastor Sandy and I in magnificent ways. And we came from poverty. We came from various troubles and issues. We had battles along the way, but we have won those battles again and again and again. For us, one of the particular needs was the financial, having children, difficulty feeding the kids, clothing the kids, all of that, keeping a roof over our heads. So we really applied ourselves. We learned that God intends to prosper us, and by faith we can harvest and receive that prosperity. Thinking back now with what happened to her in terms of medically and the costs associated with that, the financial costs, I mean, the devil was telling me I was ruined, going bankrupt and all of that. But I had about an hour that I spoke with Pastor Webb yesterday. We're going back over a couple of things, you know, and he pointed out, oh, the Lord has restored you financially, and it's true. I came from thinking I'm bankrupt to realizing the Lord has increased me. Amen. And it still continues to be an awful lot of money necessary for caregiving and all of that, but the Lord provides and is prospering us. Well, in thinking about that, I see so much blessing. I see faith producing in our lives, and even concerning healing. Pastor Webb pointed out some truths from the Scripture to me yesterday that just had me walking on air the rest of the day. You're eventually going to hear it too, but we're going to take care of our first assignment, and then we'll get to that later. But I just was realizing it's working. If you know a little bit about how Sandy has come through, there's never been a setback. She has always progressed. Amen. Now, it's a little at a time, but she has always progressed. I've been living a wonderful life of the believer winning Amen. By faith again Amen. And again and again and again to where I have an expectation now, whatever comes up, I'm going to win.
Yes.
Even our church, when this past few months, it looked like this could be an existential threat. You know, how do you keep going? But we overcame. The Lord delivered us. The Lord helped us. The Lord prospered us. And we're back on track and going again. And as I think about that, it makes me thankful, grateful, happy. But I know so many people who, with my heart's desire, would be that they would experience that too. And they don't all. And that bothers me. And I know the Scriptures point out that God is no respecter of persons. And if God's not a respecter of persons, it's not Him. He doesn't pick winners and losers. He's the original equal opportunity employer, father. But every one of us has that opportunity. But there's differences. Why? Well, we're going to touch on that a little bit today. Start on that a little bit today. Talking about faith a little bit, receiving victory by faith, receiving your financial needs met, your needs in your body, relationships, all of these things by faith. You know that the Bible declares without faith, it's impossible to please Him, right? And then five places in the Scriptures, it says the just or we might say it this way, the justified, those who have been made right, live by faith. It's not a tool you get out once in a while. It's how you live. Live by faith. So it's a very important subject. And if somebody is not receiving all that they should be by faith, it should be a situation where we diagnose that, pick it apart, find out why. I mean, I always do. And maybe that's some of the difference. Others want to blame something other than looking inwardly and finding out, do I need to make an adjustment? Is there something not right? And so on. Because it has to be me. It can't be God. Or maybe they haven't even made that conclusion. I sure have. Has to be me. Can't be God. Or maybe you could say, or the enemy. Me or the enemy or some combination. But it's not going to be the Lord. The Lord desires to bless me, won't withhold anything. We're going to start talking about faith because it's so important. It's how you harvest. It's how you reap. It's how you walk with God. It's how you get saved in the first place. Let's open our Bibles then to Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. It's been my observation through the years, if somebody rolls their eyes at teaching on faith or, oh, that faith stuff, or I tried that, that's somebody that doesn't understand it. And maybe they need to hang out just a little bit longer, hear a little more teaching, let the Lord show them. Because everything is by faith. Even the worlds that were created, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us God created them by faith. That's how He operates. So Romans 16 and verse 25, it says this, "Now to Him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith." We're going to look at obedience to the faith. Now, before we go any further, a couple of things. First of all, Paul says, my gospel, according to my gospel. Remember, the word gospel simply means good news. And if you want to know what Paul's gospel is, you'll find it in all of his writings. And you'll find that the gospel is, yes, you're saved, you're born again, you're a new creature in Christ, but you're also healed, and you're also taken care of, and you're also provided for, and He also ministers peace to you. He ministers grace to you. The gospel is simply good news of all the benefits of God. All the benefits of God. You just won't find where Paul ever limited. No, I'm only talking about that your spirit will live forever with the Lord. That's all I'm talking about. So whenever you see gospel, good news, understand that it's all of the blessings of God. The Bible declares that the gospel was preached to Abraham. Well, how could the gospel be preached to Abraham? And you go back and read everything that God said to him, and there's nothing about Jesus is going to come, die on a cross, men will be forgiven of their sins, and their spirits will live forever. You won't find that. That was not the gospel preached to Abraham. The gospel preached to Abraham was the blessings, and in type, he knew that a Redeemer would come one day. But even Abraham had the gospel preached to him. So when it says then, obedience to the faith, if anybody's looking at a King James Bible in front of them, it doesn't say obedience to the faith. It says obedience of faith. Can I get a witness in here? Anybody looking at King James Version? Does it say that? Yeah. Yep. Obedience of faith. Well, now, those are two different things, or could be understood to be two different things. Sometimes people use that phrase, the faith, as a name for Christianity. You will hear, I think, particularly Catholic folk use it that way. I came to the faith, meaning the church, being a Christian, believing Jesus died for me, you know, and I received that, and so on. But when it says obedience of faith, Now it's a different idea. In other words, obedience of faith would mean that you obey by using faith, or faith requires obedience, not simply as a name to Christianity or a name to the church. And people will use the word this way too. Sometimes, you know, I don't like to talk too much about my faith. And when they say that, they mean their religion generally, not the subject we're talking about, faith in God. Faith as something we can exercise. They're using it as a name for their Christianity or their religion. Well, which one is right? Because you'll have the faith mentioned several times in the New Testament. I think it's sometimes the translators, how could you help but do this? Put your thought or your idea on translating once you see it. I'm going to submit to you, and I think you'll see it as we go through some scriptures today, that it's not the faith, it's obedience of faith. In other words, I'm telling you where we're going today. To say that we walk by faith, to say that we're exercising faith, if you're not obeying, you're not in faith. Faith is something more. In fact, for a title, I chose this: Faith is More Than Believing. Faith is more than believing. One of the things that just I can't escape in thinking about is Pastor Sandy, one of her family members, trying to share the gospel with him, you know, and he, oh, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, sure, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But we know there's no faith to follow. There was no yielding and surrendering of his life. There's no obedience. There's no evidence of that whatsoever in his life. And you maybe know people that are the same thing. If you say, well, you got to, you know, believe on Jesus and you'll be saved. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. But there's nothing that changes in them. There's no obedience of faith. And so someone who says, I believe that Jesus came, I'm not sure that they do. I'm not sure that that's saving faith. And you're going to see a little bit further down what I'm talking about when we get to some other scriptures here. We're going to look at Abraham. We are told in a variety of scriptures that Abraham is the father of faith. He's not the first one to move by faith, because we know that Hebrews would tell us Abel offered a better sacrifice by faith. Noah built an ark by faith. Abraham's not the first, but he is held up and titled by the scripture as a father of faith, or our father of faith. And we are given him as a model to follow. This is how you do it. How Abraham was, he's the best example of faith. So let's go then to Romans chapter 4 and verse 11, and we'll see some of this. Now again, you may find out, oops, I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. Maybe that's what's wrong. If there's something wrong, you want to find out. Just like going to the doctor. You don't go to the doctor and say, gee, I feel really great. I don't need anything from you. Most of us avoid the doctor until something's wrong. But when we go to the doctor, we hope and expect that he'll tell us what's wrong so we can make a correction. You should come to church figuring the doctor's going to tell you what's wrong. And it should be, well, it's not great news, but I know now what I got to do. Amen? Okay, good. Romans 4:11, it's talking about Abraham, and it says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised. While we're there, notice he moved in faith first while he was uncircumcised, and then God asking him to create a visible evidence of circumcision for the Jewish people, he circumcised afterwards. So it wasn't circumcision that proves faith. Circumcision comes after. See, he's justified before circumcision. And why do I mention all that? Because people get kind of wrapped up in the religious behavior comes first. No, it doesn't. Anyway, still reading here. That he might be the father of all those who believe. And maybe this will make a little more sense now. You still have to this day Christians who sometimes want to pick up Jewish practices in an expression of their devotion to God. We're not justified by observing Jewish things. We're justified by faith. In fact, we're kind of taught in the New Covenant not to be covered because we are made righteous before God, fully able to stand in His presence. So Abraham is the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision, and the father of the circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision, but, yeah, that gets wordy, but who, this is the important part, also walk in the steps of faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. That's the important part. We walk in the same steps of faith. First of all, notice that faith takes steps. Some things are harvested, believed, and received a little at a time. If you have something really big, I always wanted to learn how to fly an airplane, and I delayed for years and years and years and years because I knew it'd take a lot of money, and I didn't have a lot of money extra to go fly an airplane. After some time, one of my sons became a flight instructor, so I thought, he can just do a favor for dear old dad, right? But I still had to rent airplane and all of that. There's still expense involved. And so as I'm thinking on that, the Lord said to me, well, how much do you need? Tossing around a figure, 5, 6, 7, 8,000 back in the day. He said, no. How much do you need to start? Oh, well, I guess I need to rent an airplane for an hour and go get that first flight lesson. I eventually paid my son, but right at first I wasn't, but we caught up on that. And at the time, I think it was about $65 or $70 an hour to rent an airplane, so I just rounded it off real nice, and I said, well, Lord, I guess I need $100. If I have $100, I can go start learning to be a pilot. And the Lord had, I don't remember who, had somebody give me $100. There it is. First flight lesson. Let's go. Went and did that. And after we completed that one, the Lord said to me, well, how much do you need now? I said, well, I guess I need another $100 for another flight lesson. Rent the airplane for another hour. And somebody else gave me $100. And it ended up, but over the course of about 12 months, every time somebody gave me enough money for the next flight lesson, I never dipped into my own pocket, so to speak. And I learned to fly in steps. So some of these things, they're too big. What do you need to do? You need to walk it out a step at a time. If you have your heart's desire to do a particular thing or bring in the harvest of a particular item, something like that, well, what step can you take today? Well, I got no money. I really can't do anything. Well, there's things you can do without money. You can at least start learning about it. You can at least start becoming expert in that subject. That don't cost no money, especially today. You can look on the internet and learn anything. There's YouTube video on everything. Make preparations. Take a step. What can you do? So steps of faith, which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So there's at least one. Calls him the father of faith. Let's go down to verse 16, same chapter. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only of those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You remember that God's promise to Abraham is he'd be the father of many nations? And we know the Jewish people trace themselves right back to Abraham. Arabic people do also. That's two nations, but many nations. Well, the Gentile peoples around the world that walk in the same faith as Abraham, he's the father of us all. And that's the many nations. Amen. So Abraham, the father of us all, We're to follow in His ways, His footsteps, learn from Him. He is the model. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, this phrase is in your Bibles more than once. It says this. But if you took that all by itself, you could think that it simply is, believe in God, and you're righteous. Just believe in God. And even our sharing of the gospel, just believe in God. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on His name. But we're going to see from some other scriptures, it's not just believing. There's more to it than that. Reading on, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham. I already told you that. We were going to see that. The gospel was preached to Abraham. The good news was preached to Abraham, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. What was preached? What was the gospel? The gospel that was preached to him was, in you all nations shall be blessed. Now, that may not be the only thing that God said to him, but when we say the gospel, we often narrowly define that, but it's much bigger than that. It's the good news of redemption and all of its facets, all of its blessings. Abraham was told that by him all nations would be blessed. But reading on, so then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. If we walk the same way, follow in faith the same way, obey the gospel, follow the gospel the same way, we're blessed with Abraham's blessing. And there's other scriptures that just simply declare that. Abraham believed. And there's one more scripture that in his believing describes him as fully convinced. Let's look there. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Now this one, along with some other scriptures there, we have written on the poster board that hangs up above my fireplace. And that poster board has been in Pastor Sandy's hospital room ever since about day number 2 of when she got hurt. Our daughter Jessica just prepared scriptures on what we are believing for. In that intensive care room, we put up a couple of poster boards and we kind of made it our own sanctuary. Speaking of Abraham, it says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Being fully convinced. Now, I don't know about you, but I have thought about that verse many times, fully convinced, and asked myself, am I fully convinced? Well, let me toss this at you. How do you know? How do you know if you're fully convinced? Every one of us, as we're walking by faith, will have occasions where we feel a little less strong, where we're thinking on things a little bit, and you might feel the hurt and the pain of it, and doubts occur in your thinking. And when doubts occur in your thinking, it's real easy to say, I thought I was fully convinced, but I guess I'm not, because here I am with turmoil on the inside, questions going on. At least I try to really make sure I don't say those things. I don't give them energy. I don't give them life. I don't give them power. Yet you think things, you feel things. It's said that he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. And I have often thought to myself, do I waver back and forth? And in taking inventory in past years, it sure seemed to me like from time to time I would be a little bit wavering a little bit like that. And, if I could just be like Abraham and be fully convinced. How do you know if you're fully convinced? Brother Hagin used to teach us in Bible school, you can have a head full of doubt and a heart full of faith at the same time. And that to me was like, what? Until you realize the thoughts, the thinking, the emotion, all the intellectual is not the spirit. Remember, it says in Romans, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the tongue confession is made unto salvation. It's what's in the heart, not the head. And to take that a little further, how Brother Hagin would say it, you know, doubts will occur to everyone. Thoughts contrary to the word will come to everyone. And you may even be bombarded with those things. You ever think about this? Jesus, after he was baptized by John the Baptist, was immediately led into the wilderness to be tempted. And we have accounts in the Gospels where the devil basically presented him three different approaches, three different temptations. You read it, you can probably read it in under 5 minutes. Yet he was in the wilderness 40 days. It must mean that temptation endured over and over and over and over. Now, I don't know that I could prove it, but I suppose Jesus had them thoughts going through his mind even over and over and over, and he had to resist those thoughts every time they came. And you're probably like me. When something gets to working on you, sometimes it's just going and going and going, and how do you get that thing shut off? Well, we see where Jesus would answer with the word. That's how you shut them down, is you answer with the word. But the devil's persistent. And even after you answer him by the word, he'll try again and again. And you may have to answer him 100 times. But the point is, answer him every time. Fully convinced, again, back to Brother Hagin, he would say concerning temptations, doubts, thoughts, even emotion and feelings coming to us, coming upon us, he would say it's kind of like, you can't help if a bird flies over your head, but you sure can keep it from building a nest in your hair. Countless birds have flown over your head, but I don't see anybody carrying one on top of their head right now. No nests. You just wouldn't permit that, right? Well, that means it's transient. The bird will pass. Don't let it stop. Don't let it rest on top of your head. Don't make it think, hey, this would be a pretty good place to live. If you want to know what demonic oppression and even possession is, it's someone who's let the bird build the nest. They haven't dealt with it, and it starts going over and over and over until it becomes so entangled in them that they can't tell the difference between it and them. So how do you know if you're fully convinced? And what we're saying today is being fully convinced and or believing by itself is not all that there is. And even in measuring, are you fully convinced? I think every one of us, when we contemplate that, we think about maybe doubts versus confidence. What's the ratio there? And we think we're fully convinced once we feel we've completely cleaned out all doubts. And you know, you may have some moments like that, but when they come back and make another run at you, have you just lost your fully convinced? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've experienced these things, right? And if we're not careful, we hold Abraham up as something so ideal and perfect, but me, I'm just me. I could never do what Abraham did. Wrong. You can. So he's fully convinced. Is that all there is to it? Just, and what's the remedy if you decide you're not fully convinced? I'm guilty of this too. What do we tell people? Go back to the word. Go back to the word. And we keep putting the word in again, keep looking at the word, and that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. But sometimes we think we will cure whatever doubts come by just speaking the word again, saying the word again, reading the word again. I don't know if any of you heard people talk this way, but I remember when we were in Bible school, I don't hear it so much anymore, but we sure did back then. people talk about writing out their confession of scriptures. And they would talk about 3 times a day, I get out my scriptures and confess them. And then if something isn't quite going right, they say, well, I'm going to double that. I'm going to make it 6 times a day. I'm going to say my confessions. And you start figuring out, well, Jesus said it this way, vain repetition. For some, it becomes vain repetition. It becomes formula. It becomes magic words. It becomes something other than faith. How many times would you have to say something if you said it in faith? If it was truly said in faith, once is enough. I don't see where, I just can't imagine that God would say, let there be light, and nothing happens, and he goes, come on, let there be light, I said. I said, let there be light. 1, 2, you know, that parental thing there, that's all wrong. Your words once should be enough. When it's in faith, truly in faith, once is enough. Well, if you're having those doubts, what do you just go over the scriptures and become more fully convinced? Thought I was fully convinced, but I got to get more convinced. Now, you do shore up faith when you review the scriptures. It is good to do. But what I'm saying is there are people doing that, and it's not producing anything in them. It's not magic. So is it just being fully convinced? Well, certainly not the way we tend to think about it. There's something more. Let's go to Genesis 22 and verse 18. I mean, I saw this, and I go, woo, I got the answer. Hallelujah, praise God, I got the answer. I see it now, I see it now. Here, God's speaking the gospel. Remember, the gospel was preached to Abraham. Here it is. In your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Because you're fully convinced. Is that what it says? Because you believed. Is that what it says? Because you what? Obeyed my voice. All these places where it says Abraham believed, Abraham was fully convinced, Abraham walked in the steps of faith, the proof of his faith, the proof of his being fully convinced was his obedience. Do you want to know if you believe something? Do you obey it? Do you follow it? Do you do it? So we can see here, expressed in the first scripture we looked at, the obedience of faith. Not obedience to the faith, but the obedience of faith. This is what it comes down to. You are fully convinced once you follow and obey the voice of God. Amen. If Abraham would not have obeyed God, we wouldn't be reading about him. Now, as we've looked at so many scriptures already, and there's more that talk about the faith of Abraham, this one says obeyed the voice of God. We know that those worked together because it doesn't say in every instance, well, Abraham obeyed God, Abraham obeyed God. Because if it only said that, never said anything about faith, you and I would say, well, I've not always obeyed God. I guess there's no hope for me. It's not obedience as in perfect behavior, but it is hearing what God says, following it, obeying it, and that is the expression or the outworking or the materialization. That is the outworking of faith. Your faith is as tall as your obedience to follow the instructions of God. Does that make sense? When you truly believe, you obey Him. Abraham obeyed God in his every instruction. Two of them that stand out were, first of all, God told Abraham, Abram, his name was at first, while he still lived in modern-day Iraq, Ur of the Chaldees, God spoke to him, said, get up, get out of your country, get away from your family, and go to, and didn't tell him where. Go to a land that I will show you. And we know that Abraham obeyed God, sold the place, packed it up. And by the way, the archaeological digs and so on in history in that part of the world at that time, they had indoor plumbing, running water in their houses, tiled, beautiful houses. Their technology was pretty advanced. And he left that to go live in deserts in a tent. So that wasn't easy to leave nice home like that. But that's one of the examples. And then he moved from place to place, following God's instructions, following what God told him to do. The other outstanding is the time when, after believing God for 25 years for a son of he and Sarah, he's born, he grows. It's thought that he was a teenager, a young man, and the Lord tells him, take your son, your only son, go to Mount Moriah, and there make him an offering to me. And the next morning, early, he's loading everything up to go do it. Abraham always obeyed God. He obeyed God quickly. He obeyed God explicitly in all of the details. Abraham showed that he believed God by obeying and following instructions. The book of Hebrews tells us that those 3 days that Isaac, his son, and he and a servant were traveling to the mountain to make this offering, that Abraham considered his son dead in those 3 days, and that he expected that God would raise him up from the dead, because he's the promise and God will keep his word. God had said, in Isaac your seed shall be blessed, not in Ishmael. He travels those 3 days by faith, believing God. When you believe God, you'll follow and you'll obey the instructions. Even when it seems like this is just wrong, I don't see how this is going to work out. Wait a minute, my son's going to be a great father of a nation or nations, and I'm going to kill him? How's that going to work? Abraham followed and obeyed God explicitly and quickly. And that is his outworking of faith. Let's go to the 26th chapter of Genesis in verse 4. Are you beginning to see the picture? Are you thinking back, have I really followed God? Have I obeyed God? You know, I mean, if something didn't work out right, did I misstep? Did I not fully obey God? All of that. Genesis 26, verse 4. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. God speaking to Abraham again. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham believed. You see that? We have these scriptures that say he believed. He was fully convinced. Others say because he obeyed. And you have to put them together. He both believed and he obeyed. And what we want to do so many times is believe but not have to obey. And all the times that you and I didn't harvest what we were believing for, or people we know, or people who have said, I tried that faith stuff, it doesn't work. I confessed those scriptures, and I confessed, and I prayed, and nothing ever happened. This is probably the issue. They're not following God in something that he asked them or instructed them to do. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Well, that's a whole list. Not just things God said, but his laws. And now the law of Moses was not yet given. He didn't have that revelation. So what laws is he talking about there? Well, just everything that Abraham heard from God, knew from God, God showed him, God revealed. Abraham was careful in the details. So remember that. Faith and obedience go together. Jesus commented on faith. Remember the disciples, "Lord, increase our faith." And how did he answer them? Did he say, "Okay, I'll do that," and put his head down and pray? No. He said, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this tree, you shall say to this mountain." So he was telling them a small amount of faith. And faith is not necessarily the issue. A little bit of faith with obedience. There are two major reasons why people don't obey God. Number one is fear. God may ask you to do something that you just don't know how we're going to make it. How are we going to pay for that? How can we do that? I remember when Sandy and I were fully convinced we were to go to Bible school. We were to go to Rhema, and we put the house up for sale, and it took a year, unfortunately, to get it sold, so we didn't get to Rhema right away. Sure enough, in that year, somebody turned up pregnant.
Oh, God, yes.
And when we moved, when we moved to Oklahoma to go to Bible school, we had a 3-week-old baby, just a little one, you know, and that was number four, kid number four. We had a family member, and the family meant well, but one aunt was telling me, "You can't move away and go to Bible school. You got a brand new baby." It just didn't work for her. And I thought, well, if God says go, he can take care of me and a brand new baby. So we just went. Baby, that didn't matter. We could have said, yeah, how are we going to work this out? How are we going to pay for things and all of that? And, you know, quit your job and move with four kids? Yeah, we did that. And I won't say it was easy. It was a challenge. And we're talking 1986. That previous year, I was in commission sales and earned over $60,000 in that year. And in 1986, that was good money. Quit that job, went to Oklahoma, managed to transfer inside the company to a position there in Oklahoma. But that year, we made $17,000, a little bit of a drop. The following year, we made it to $19,000. So we learned to live by faith. We learned to live by faith, and we learned there's many ways to make potatoes over and over and over again. Every meal was potatoes for a stretch there, potatoes and eggs. But fear, how are we going to do that? Every time God has asked us to make a move in obeying and following him, we have not had the money to do it. The money always came after we started. We moved, we went in that direction. After we were doing what God told us to do, then the money would come. We have never had it in advance. I'm old enough now that I'm thinking, well, Lord, if you'll supply, I'll go do it. No, I don't get a pass on that. It's still, take a step of faith and God provides. And he's been so faithful, so absolutely faithful. Amen? So the first reason is fear. The second one is pride. People want to do their thing, their way. Try to make even deals with God. God, if I'm going to go in that direction, then you're going to do this for me, you're going to do that for me, and all of that. So people don't humble themselves to follow God. So fear and pride, and I'll let you work on those a little bit in terms of thinking that through. Let's go then to James chapter 2 and verse 20, James 2:20. Real faith acts upon what they believe. Acts upon what God says. Faith and pride will keep you from that. James 2:20. Do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And I think I'm going to help you here with this discourse in James, because this has caused a lot of people a lot of confusion or something like that. Faith without works is dead. That word works. Elsewhere in the scriptures, in the English language, you see where it talks about works of the law. No man is justified by works of the law. We've picked that up in our vocabulary to talk about, you know, you can't earn your way with God. It's not by works. It's by faith and righteousness in God by faith. It's not by works. We don't earn a place in heaven because we did certain works. Although the Bible tells us to be diligent to do good works. Good works out of faith is different from good works in the place of faith. So it says works there. There are works of the law, but there are also works of faith. Because you believe, you do things. And this word works here, for our purposes, let's think of it this way. The word means doing. Or we can say it this way. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without doing is dead? Faith without doing is dead. Faith without, some will say, think of it this way, faith without action. I think the Amplified Bible might even say corresponding action. Corresponding action, faith without corresponding action is dead. So the idea that you just believe, simply believe, all you have to do is believe, James declares that faith that doesn't include acting, doing, can I add obeying, is dead, or it's not productive. We'll keep reading. Was not Abraham our father justified by, I'm going to put the word in, doing, when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Notice God didn't come to Abraham and say, Abraham, do you believe if I asked you to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, do you believe that I could raise him from the dead? And Abraham say, oh, yeah, of course, Lord, I believe that. And did the Lord then go, well, okay, now I know. No. Abraham had to actually do it. Abraham had to actually obey, get up and go. And you know the story. He was knife raised and ready to do it. And the Lord stopped him. Because every possibility that Abraham was not going to do it had been eliminated. So Abraham was justified not just because he believed, but he believed and obeyed and did. And this is the point that James is making. Abraham was justified by faith, but when you claim, I believe, and you don't follow through, you don't obey, you don't follow God's commands and his voice and so on, James is saying, that don't work, it's dead, it's unproductive, it's not even faith. It says then next, do you see that faith was working together with his works? Let's say doing. Faith works with your doing. It is not independent of the doing. Working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect, that is complete. The word perfect would mean complete. That faith, something he believed, was not complete until he did it. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So here James is tying in what it says in Romans, what it says in Genesis. Abraham believed God, but that is not independent of Abraham did the work of following God, obeying God. I think we have those two things too separated in our thinking, and they shouldn't be. And looking back and analyzing my own and saying, yeah, our walk with the Lord all these years, I feel so abundantly blessed. Over and over, we've reaped the harvest of the promises of God. You know, well, why? Well, I look at our lives. We have obeyed and followed the voice of God when others haven't. You know, there's other things like, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Is that the voice of God? Is that the instruction of God? It says, be there when church is meeting. That's what it says. We took that seriously. We have obeyed that. And there's not many times we've missed church. And so our doing lines up with our believing. I maybe point to my mom and dad. I don't think they missed church hardly ever all of their lives. And they were reaping blessings and benefits.
I believe we were blessed.
But they obeyed God all the way through. Dare I say it? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse? You don't have to do that. No, you don't have to. You choose. But faith for prosperity without the doing? You don't like that one? How about this one? Jesus said it. And now it's New Testament. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. What about that one? Are there some obeying it and some not? Absolutely. And when it comes to someone believing for their needs to be met, believing for their prosperity, and when Jesus says, give and it shall be given to you, and they don't give, oh, I believe in prosperity. I believe God would bless me and help me. Every church, including ours, throughout its entire history, there have been some people that should come at the end of the year to figure up what do we need to put on the giving report so they can do their income tax, and it's a great big zero for the year. And those same people, and we never talk about that, who they are, or even talk to them about it, but those same people will be the ones who are given the report of there's just not enough money, I need some help, Pastor, and all that kind of thing. Faith for finance can't disobey the instructions of God and expect to reap harvest. Amen. And probably everywhere, each one of us have come up a little short on something. There may be a place where we need to get before God, find out, Lord, did I step off track? Did I disobey you somehow? Is something not quite right? He'll show you. He'll show me. If he doesn't, there are attacks of the enemy that just come because of you're standing strong. That does happen too. But so don't invent something. But Abraham was justified by his doing what he believed. Abraham's works were obedience, exactly and fully everything that God said. Let's go to John 14:21, please. Now we have lots of instructions in the Word that apply to us. Are they the voice of God to us? Yes, they are. And if you want to think differently, oh, that bring the whole tithe into the storehouse thing, that don't apply to me. Okay. But that promise also said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Okay, devourer not rebuked. If that's okay with you, then fine. And he comes and eats up all your resources. Seems like you can never catch up, never get ahead, all of that. Yeah, those are instructions to us. And then there's the individual things. The witness in your heart. One place the Bible says, he who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. I'll never forget, I was leaving a particular restaurant up in Moni one time, walking to my car, and I go across and I see a nail in the parking lot, and I go and get in my truck, and suddenly I feel on the inside, you didn't just pass that nail, did you? You want to reap what you sow? So I had to get out, go pick up that nail, bring it to a trash can, and every nail I see anywhere anymore. I can't walk past a nail in a parking lot without picking it up. Is that obeying the voice of God? Is that important to my faith? Yes, it is. John 14:21. So it comes individuals, the witness in your heart, the things that you start getting a sense of are particular to you. Nobody else would ever know about it. Who would have known that I passed up a nail and didn't pick it up? Who would have known? And is that a sin to not pick up a nail? Well, when it's quickened in my heart and I don't do it, for me, yes. Pastor Dan, you're getting awful nitpicky. You want to have God nitpicky about the fullness of the blessing coming to help you? You want him paying attention to the details? Then pay attention to the details. John 14:21. Jesus speaking, he who has my commandments and keeps them, I thought it's all just about having a warm, wonderful heart, believing Jesus. Jesus knows I love. I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. How do you know I love you? Because I said I love you, Lord. I sing all the songs. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And when it says manifest myself to him, are we talking about Jesus is suddenly going to appear and you're going to meet Jesus face to face? Not necessarily so. When healing comes into your body, Jesus has manifest himself. All the things that have happened to Sandy that help her along, that are increases in her health, that are restoring her, those are manifestations of Jesus. When a check comes in the mail that you didn't know about, didn't expect, that's a manifestation of Jesus. Who will he manifest himself to? Those who keep his commandments. Amen. John 15, 14. You are my friends if, biggest word in the Bible, and it's in a lot of scriptures, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Well, this is starting to sound like we have to work for it. No, we believe God by faith, and then we do because we love. Luke 6:46. I guess I'm showing how much the Bible takes a view or instructs us to more than just, well, I believe in my heart. Nobody can say what I believe, don't believe. You can't judge me. I know what I believe, and I believe. I believe Jesus came. I believe he died for me and all that, you know. And there are people who say it and don't follow it at all. Luke 6:46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. And then we have the parable of the wise and the foolish builders. The wise man digs deep, builds the foundation of his house on the rock. The foolish man just builds right on the surface, on the sand, the scripture says. I'm just telling you what's in those verses following. And it says then that the winds rose, that the storms came, and beat upon both houses. Notice, they both experienced the same storm. As I've kind of said before, I used to think many years ago, I would use my faith so that there wouldn't be any storms in life. And later I figured out, no, the storms are coming anyway. But faith is for staying standing when the storm does come. The same things will happen, more or less, to believers, unbelievers. But the difference is, the wise man digs deep, builds on the foundation. Jesus describes he is that foundation. He is that rock. Both builders hear the Lord's sayings. But Jesus said, the one who hears and does them is like the one who digs deep, builds on the rock. The other one who hears his sayings but doesn't do them, that's the house on the top, the sand, and the storms knock it down, and it's a great ruin. They both heard. We might even say both believed. But one obeyed. One did the instruction. The other didn't. And the result, the outcome, is very different between the two. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But hearing only and not doing also leads to great calamity. And it does not work. And through these many years that I've been part of teachings of faith, understanding that we receive by faith, that God is interested in not only our eternal salvation, but our financial well-being, being provided for, being healed in our bodies. All these years, there's thousands of people I've met, rubbed shoulders with, have known, churches I've been at, churches I've been a part of the staff, this church, the many people that have come through here as well. And there are so many who make claims of believing, and in their heart, they probably honestly do, but haven't connected that to obeying, to following, to keeping the instruction. And it's so unequal, the results and the outcomes. We probably all know those that kind of got hardened about it and then reject. If they go to church at all, they go to some real easy going, don't ask nothing of me, don't require nothing of me. I'm bitter about these things a little bit. Here's an expression I've heard way too many times. I was going to church and I got burned. What does that mean? It wasn't the Lord that burned you. Somebody wasn't appreciative enough. Who are you serving, them or the Lord? You got abused? So did Jesus. So did all the apostles. Underappreciated? Overworked? Well, we ought to be careful about the overworked part. Yes. But they weren't able to sustain it. They weren't able to keep going. They didn't obey the Lord. If the Lord says, go to a church, serve, does it really matter at that point how Sister so-and-so talks to you? There's always a... Too often there's a Sister Blabbermouth in each church. I guess there's guys that kind of might fit the bill too, but... If you're sensitive about stuff like that, you're going to find plenty of reasons to drop it all and say that doesn't work and all whatever. So, do you maybe see a little more light than before? How important obeying is? How important some of these things are? And boy, if you want to see it begin to really reap in your faith, and if it's been a long time, you've been standing for something, don't see it just yet. Some things can take a while, but otherwise, I'd say, go to the Lord and say, okay, what's up, Lord? I must have missed steps here somewhere. And I'll be honest with you, concerning all that happened with Pastor Sandy, that has been very much something that from time to time, I really check with the Lord and try to find. Because, you know, it seems like something severe happened. It'd have to be we misstepped somewhere. But then again, on the other hand, every time I seek the Lord, He'll tell me most recently, did I tell you you disobeyed me? No. No, not that I'm aware of, Lord. No. Being careful that way. And I have a little more light on it anyway after talking with Pastor Webb, and I know a little better what's going on. And so we're on track. She's being restored. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we bless you and thank you for this word today. I don't know. Maybe it's a little difficult to hear, although I sure did welcome it and rejoice in it, because I believe it helps me. Father, I know I'm fully convinced when I follow, when I obey. And once I know that, I just can't be shaken from it. Hallelujah. And it goes stronger and stronger that way. Father, thank you for this, and may these words hit the mark that you intend in each and every ear. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You really set the pace on that one, you know. Praise the Lord. Believe in God for more? Easy. Give a little more. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I have noticed this through the years. My giving has always preceded my harvesting. Always. And I know a lot of people want the harvest to come and then they'll respond in giving, but my giving has always led my harvesting. Well, that's faith to give, to obey, and then I harvest. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, it looks like we're completed. God bless you all. Thank you for being attentive today and being here today.